I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Iraq's Anbar province was quiet today, and that's good news following yesterday's transfer of security responsibility in the province. U.S. troops there handed control to the Iraqi government. Anbar was once one of Iraq's most dangerous provinces, but things changed last year. There was an unusual alliance between the U.S. military and local Sunni insurgents and tribal leaders, and it began to bear fruit. That alliance helped pacify Anbar. Now, as The World's Katie Clark explains, there's a new challenge emerging in the province.
The Sunnis in Anbar became a neighborhood watch group of sorts, paid for and armed by the U.S., and they succeeded in running the group al-Qaeda in Iraq out of the province. But it's unclear what will happen come next month. That's when these so-called Awakening Council members will begin getting their paychecks from Baghdad rather than Washington. Rick Barton is co-director of the Post-Conflict Reconstruction Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
It is likely that the current Iraqi government will fail to pay some of these people, will try to arrest some who probably shouldn't be arrested, and that this will spark some further violence.
Violence that's a direct result of the deep ethnic tensions which continue across Iraq, according to Eric Rosenbach. Rosenbach runs Harvard's Belfer Center for International Affairs. He notes that ethnic divisions remain especially steep between the Sunnis of Anbar and the Iraqi central government led by Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, a Shia.
There's a lot of suspicion in al-Anbar that the reason this movement is occurring is because Prime Minister Maliki and some of his advisors have been pushing the Americans to give them control of these awakening movements and the tribal leaders because they feel threatened by the potential military power of these individuals.
Rosenbach calls this Maliki's George Washington moment. He says it's a time for Maliki to prove he can look past sectarian biases and help the Sunnis integrate into the Iraqi political and security system.
It's a very important moment for him to prove that he's bigger than just his Shia identity.
But initial indications as to the direction things may go for members of the Awakening Councils are troubling. Nora Bensahel is a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation.
Prime Minister Maliki has promised to transition 20% of them into the Iraqi security forces. My understanding is that process has gone very slowly and that there has been a lot of resistance politically to that move. And so if that promise is not upheld, I think it will be very tricky to get the continued trust and support of the members of the Awakening Council.
And without their trust and support, Iraq's newfound stability looks increasingly fragile.
It's the guys with guns problem.
Again, Harvard's Eric Rosenbach.
Tribal leaders who formerly had some power now have been paid, have more financial resources, also have a lot of military power, and you have to try to figure out how you can decompress them and get them into the normal political process.
One chance will come when Iraq holds its next provincial elections. Sunnis boycotted past votes, but they've expressed interest in taking part this time around. The problem is no date has yet been set for those elections. On top of that, no one knows for sure how committed Iraq's Sunnis are to a future Iraq as imagined by politicians in either Washington or Baghdad. A safer assumption may be that Sunnis are going along for now to improve their power and bargaining position. If the Iraqi government doesn't live up to its end of the bargain, the Sunnis may be tempted to use their guns instead of turning them in. For The World, this is Katie Clark.